The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
I'm totally distracted because all I can smell is the wonderful cake that Shane Smith has brought in. I have strawberry and chocolate. I have honeycomb on top of the chocolate. There's fresh cream. Is that fresh cream, Shane?
It's a cheesecake filling.
Oh,
so.
Listen, it's just divine. Yes. I can't look at you. I've got to look at the cake. So please forgive me. It's fabulous. This is from your new book. It's called Loaf Tin Bakes,
yes.
Which I love because Loaf Tin Bakes as a title makes us all feel like we can do this.
There was lots of names being thrown around and we were thinking of it. Live, laugh, loaf, all of these. But we decided at the end to keep it simple and go with Loaf Tin Bakes. But again, that's the whole idea behind the book. It's family focused, it's fuss free, and hopefully people have been responding great to it, but it's easy. And again, I always laugh, my brother does always ring me in a panic, be like, there's a bake sale on tomorrow, the kids literally told me, what can I do? So it's like easy recipes like that you can throw together.
Yeah, and it's I think when you hear loaf tin, you do believe that you can do it. Yeah. But you have everything in the book from the really simple,
yes,
sort of lemon drizzle, all the way up through to the fancy stuff.
Yeah, if you want to, again, that's why if it's for seasoned bakers and you want to push yourself a little bit more, just like this little loaf here that we have here, it's a cheesecake loaf. So if you want to have a plain vanilla loaf, that's perfect. But if you want to go one step further, you kind of scoop out the middle and I fill that with a lovely strawberry cheesecake filling. So there's bakes there for everyone. As I said, simple kind of porridge breads up to chocolate babka loaves. You know, so again, if you want to push yourself and do more of a weekend bake, hopefully there's something in there for everybody.
What happens? What goes wrong when they sink in the middle?
Okay, so it's so funny. There's many questions I get. That is one of them. Why do my cherries sink in the Madeira cake? And do you know Nevin Maguire? They're the three top ones I always get asked. So the sinking in the middle really comes down to either overmixing initially, getting too much air in there. So you've created such a light sponge that it kind of collapses in on itself, and also having too much raising agent, again, that it rises too fast, it becomes a little bit unstable and then it dips in the middle. It's still going to taste fine, but you might just have to put in a little bit of an extra. That's where the toppings come in handy, whether it's cream and fruit, you can kind of hide that little dip in the middle. Yeah.
Has it anything to do with the oven?
Oven, yes. So again, if your oven temperature is too hot, then your cake can kind of rise too fast initially and then it can kind of dip down and sink in the middle as well. If you open your oven door midway through baking, then that's going to allow hot air out, cold air goes in, and then your cake does dip in the middle. So you're always better to pop it in and just forget about it.
Okay, and you can use the light, of course, to check whether the top. But you do feel sometimes, well, if I turned that around now, it would be a more even bake.
Yes, I kind of find with some ovens, if it's a gas oven especially, there can be hot spots in the oven. So sometimes you'll figure out, oh, the back right-hand corner tends to brown a little bit more. So if your cake takes about 35, 40 minutes to bake, you can open the oven about 5 minutes before or so it's due to come out, and then you can do a little bit of turning at that point, just so the structure of the loaf will hold together, that it won't dip in the middle on you, but definitely not within the first 10, 15 minutes.
You better answer that question about the cherries in the Madeira.
And why, I do know why, Nevin as well.
You know it? Nevin, right, that's confirmed.
Cherries in the Madeira is, if the cherries are too big, they'll sink. So I always cut the cherries in half, sometimes even in quarter. They have this kind of a syrup that's on them, the glass-edged cherries. So I always wash them in lukewarm water and dry them off. And then you just toss them in a little bit of flour and that helps to stop them from sinking. But if your butter is a little bit soft for the initial part of the mix and your Madeira cake is a little bit looser in consistency, your cherries naturally will tend to sink. So what I do is you can add a little bit more ground almonds in there, or what you can do is put 3/4 of the cherries into the mix, mix it around, keep some back and sprinkle those over the top just before you bake it. So if they do decide to kind of drop a little bit, they should be submerged in the middle by the time.
That's very clever. It's a bit complicated though, isn't it?
Those ones are. There's certain recipes that, like, there's a jam coconut sponge there and it's literally all the ingredients into the bowl, mix it and bake it. But when you're kind of making additions, so if you're adding in the glass-edged cherries, for example, that is one that you just have to be a little bit careful about. And really, I always say it's A-okay to make mistakes. It's all part of the fun. Like, it's not open heart surgery, you know, we're just baking at home. So if the cherries do sink to the middle or to the bottom, excuse me, then it's just, I suppose what I'd like for people to do is have the knowledge of understanding why that happened and maybe changing something.
Because sometimes when I put chocolate chips into muffins or buns or whatever, they can sink as well.
To the bottom, yeah.
Yeah, that's very disappointing when that happens.
It is very, well, again, it depends when you're slicing it. You'll get one layer of chocolate on the bottom. That can be down to either the chocolate chips can be sometimes a little bit too big and they can sink down. But again, if your initial cake batter is a little bit on the softer side, they will be more prone to sinking on the bottom.
So that means the butter should be soft, but not liquidy.
Not liquidy, exactly. So, and again, when you're baking on a hot day in the kitchen, everything tends to be a little bit warmer. So again, if your butter is a little bit firmer, it will soften up as you work with it. So again, it's about knowing all those little bits and
pieces.
Now,
I've been given slices of the cake and a fork. So that means I'm going to have to eat them. So I've no
it
choice
be rude
here.
Not to.
Do you want to talk me through the strawberry one with the cream cheese?
So this is a very simple vanilla loaf cake. So your simple butter, sugar, vanilla, eggs, flour, nothing in there, cupboard staples. But what I've done here, just to elevate it a little bit more, is once it's baked and I let it probably bake it the day before, I then take it and I scoop out the centre part. I cut out a little bit in the middle and I fill that with a cheesecake filling. So there's silence.
Keep talking.
I used delicious Clark strawberries that are in season, our lovely Irish strawberries, and I've just mixed that with some full fat cream cheese.
Nevin's mad about the Clark strawberries
Clark
now
strawberry.
As well. So you're all...
They're very good. It's a Cavan thing maybe. I don't know. We're getting together on it. But yeah, cream cheese, icing sugar, a little bit of vanilla. So your basic components of a cheesecake, and you're filling the centre of the loaf with that. So it's a little surprise when you slice it, you have the little centre of your
delicious.
Loaf then as well.
So what do you do with the middle of the sponge that you took out?
That's comfort eating. That's I say put that into the fridge or the freezer, but you can eat it as you're decorating the cake. And I have lovely little McCormick's. They're based in County Meath as well, edible flowers, and they just add such a lovely flourish of colour to the top of all your bakes as well.
They look lovely.
Just take it a next step up.
I'm just surprised to hear you say that you bake this the first day and then you go back then and you do the scooping out and the decorating, because I always thought that a cake like that, you have to gobble it up the minute it comes out of the oven almost.
Well, you can bake it in the morning and do this in the afternoon if you want, but I would say just if you're going to be cutting out the centre of the cake, it's better probably pop it in the fridge for 10 minutes, just so the butter that's in there firms up and it's easier to work with. Sometimes freshly baked cakes are so tender that they can crumble on you. But what I generally do, and what I done with this one, was I baked it yesterday, and when it came out of the oven I allowed it to cool, but I wrapped it in cling film and I left it out ambient overnight, so it does kind of keep nice and soft.
So after
in there
it
as well.
Cooled, you put the cling film on it?
Yes, and wrap it well and just leave it sitting out then, and that means then if you're going to be serving it the following day, then it's firmer a little bit then to cut out the centre to put your cheesecake filling in the middle.
That'd never
as well.
Work in my house. I seem to have little mice now who can get in and take little slices
off
the
end. You have to put
the
them up on a high shelf.
So you've this chocolate one here as well with a lovely honeycomb on top. Tell me about this one now, what I took in.
I tried so many recipes for the book to find like the perfect kind of fudgy chocolate. I didn't want a chocolate sponge, but I wanted more like a death by chocolate, a denser, heavier chocolate cake. This is such an easy recipe. This again is your eggs, and there's oil in this as well, so you can use like a canola oil or a grapeseed oil or any of those oils to keep it softer, so there's
but
no
not,
butter.
Not a very flavoured oil?
No, I keep away from your pomace oils or olive oils or extra virgins. They just have a stronger taste. So a neutral oil, cocoa powder, unsweetened cocoa powder, gives that really rich dark chocolatey colour, and then I add in 100 ml of coffee at the end. But I'm sure you probably can't taste the coffee in there, but the coffee will kind of, enrich the flavour of the chocolate. So you're getting more of an intense chocolatey flavour, but it's hot coffee. So when you pour that into this recipe here, this one, it loosens it up. So it's a very wet mixture. So you're pouring that into your 2 pound loaf tin and it is wet. So if you are...
So don't worry.
Don't worry. And that's what keeps the cake nice and kind of heavy and rich, because you don't want a dry, crumbly chocolate cake. You want it to be heavy.
The topping is absolutely divine.
Amazing. Yeah, this is just a ganache, which sounds very fancy, but it is chocolate and cream. So you just heat your cream, pour it over your chocolate chips, let it sit for 2-3 minutes, whisk that up, and you get this gorgeous silky ganache. And you can just pop that on top of the cake. Listen, the cake is perfect on its own, but if you want to take it up another notch, the ganache on top is lovely. You can pop some fresh raspberries on top of that if you want. But the recipe in the book for honeycomb, but this is Anya's Chocolate. They're based in County Cavan and they have a lovely homemade honeycomb already for you. So if you have a fear, because honeycomb does take a little bit of work, you're adding in your bicarbonate of soda.
We're not going to make that.
No. Put a line through that one straight away.
So you just, what did you do? Do you buy that smashed up? Or did
no,
you
it comes it in lovely chunks. It's like more of a snack. And then I just cut them in half then and dot them on top. So you get that lovely crunchy honeycomb flavour on top. And again, it's more of a garnish. I think all the loaf cakes, they're lovely and simple as they are. But if you want to, whether it's top them with fruit or some edible flowers or chocolate, it just raises them up a level. So if the neighbours are coming around for coffee, then it looks like you've made
effort.
You'd
be the star of the school bake now if you went in with one of these. Do you use a loaf tin liner, Shane?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
I think they're They're great, aren't they?
I don't think anyone has time in life to be lining tins with parchment paper and trying to get it all cut.
Butter, yeah.
And I tested about 180 recipes initially to whittle down. So I was straight online and I ordered the £2 loaf liners. Just make sure that you're not doing what I done the first time round and was a little bit of a cheapskate. And I got the cheapest ones and they're not nonstick. And then they do, not as much for the cakes, but for breads, they can't stick to the bread. So make sure that you're getting a non-stick liner.
Okay.
And that'll have it on it as well, or grease proof.
Invest in your liner.
Invest in your liner. Spend that extra 20 cents. It's worth it.
The book is out how long now?
Oh, I think about 5 weeks.
Doing really well for you?
Yeah, the response has been absolutely amazing. You always hope and dream that people will get behind it and get behind the concept. And they really have. I've been blown away. It was number one bestseller the week that it was published, which was completely blown my mind. But it's been a fun couple of weeks traveling around meeting loads of people, and I've always said this: when someone sends me a picture online of a bake that they've made, there's nothing more humbling than that. It's just lovely.
But I think it's because it is so accessible.
Yes.
You know, if you think of a loaf tin, you think I can probably manage to do that.
Yeah, exactly. It's achievable. Yeah, and whether it's again a simple brown bread or something, one bowl mix into the loaf tin, into the oven, and away you go. It really is lovely.
Shane, it's lovely to see you, and thank you so much. The book is called Loaf Tin Bakes. It's out now by Shane Smith, and it is really doable. So we should all give it a go. I'm off to have this cake now. I'm going to eat all of it. Every single little bit, every crumb is gone. And my producer's looking at me with his eyes open. You're not getting any. But my thanks to you, Alex Russo, for producing today, along with Dee King. Research by David O'Connor and Mia Sherwood. Our broadcast assistant is Anne-Marie Kane. And Cormac McDonough was on sound. If you missed anything, head to the Go Loud app. It's all there for you.
The Clare Byrne Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.